Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. Knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important thing in our lives, and we aim to share the true gospel with everyone. Listen with us today as Pastor Scott preaches to his congregation and invites you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can also visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org, that's O-R-G, for more information about our local church. God is good, and Jesus saves all who surrender their lives to him. Amen.
We're going to go to Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Heavenly Father, I thank you this evening. I thank you that you are amazingly good to us. And you teach us through your word. You teach us by your spirit. You guide us and you direct our paths. And we desire so much for you to continue to use this ministry for your glory. Continue to direct our paths in the way that you desire for us to go. And we praise you for who you are. We praise you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to serve you. And we ask you to bless the time tonight in your word. Bless our fellowship together around the table. Bless the hands of those that have prepared it. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Colossians chapter 3, we started last week in verse 1, and this message tonight is just a continuation of what we started last week in chapter 3, verse 1, and I've entitled this message, Put on the New Self. So we start in verse 12. Therefore, God's chosen ones, holy and loved, put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Accepting one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, put on love, the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of the Messiah, to which you were also called in one body, control your hearts. Be thankful. Let the message about the Messiah dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So as we look at this passage, it's really five verses, five incredible verses. It is amazing to me sometimes that we have a hard time recognizing exactly where we stand with the Father that loves us so much. Therefore, God's chosen ones, holy and loved, put on a heartfelt compassion. We are chosen. We are chosen because of our relationship with God in Christ, and we are called upon to be holy and blameless and beloved. So here in this verse, Paul tells us, number one, that we are chosen. We belong to him. We are the elect, according to what other passages of Scripture say. And we are asked to be holy because we are loved. And he defines us as holy because he set us apart for himself. He set us apart. Now, we can look at ourselves and we can say, certainly we're not holy. You should see what I do in private. But God makes us holy because he set us apart for himself. And under that designation of being set apart for himself, he defined us as holy. He defined us as righteous. He defines us as justified. And he defines us as love. Even though we don't live up to that standard all the time, we are called that because he has put his hand on us. He has sealed us with his spirit, according to Ephesians chapter 1. And he has set us apart for himself for eternity. So when you see the word therefore, like in this verse, we need to look back just a little bit in verse 3 of chapter 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with the Messiah in God. We have died to sin because Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. He told us in chapter 2 that our sin, when we accept Christ as Lord and Savior, that our sin is literally nailed to the cross, paid in full. And we live in that death relationship because Jesus paid the penalty for our sin, and we have the opportunity to do just what God is telling us here in verse 12 to put on heartfelt compassion. Now, we've seen that phrase put on before. We saw it earlier in this book. Put on Christ, put off the old man. Now he tells us in verse 12, put on heartfelt compassion. It's interesting too, because we are chosen ones. And in Romans chapter 13, verse 14, Paul says again, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no plans to satisfy fleshly desires. So here we have heartfelt compassion. And we wonder, well, what does that really look like? In Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, if then there's any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, what does heartfelt compassion look like? Encouragement, fellowship of love, fellowship in the Spirit, affection and mercy towards other people, heartfelt compassion, serving one another out of gentleness, out of kindness, out of humility. In verse 3 of Philippians chapter 2, do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility, consider others more important than yourself. You want to define humility? Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of rivalry and conceit, but in humility, consider others more important than yourself. If you have conversation, always sounds like it ends up talking about you. That's not really humility. Humility is when you consider others more important than yourself. When you live your life in such a way that other people are more important than you are. And God wants us to be humble, not beat down, not moping around, not belittling ourselves, but willing to serve in such a way that we show the love of Christ to people around us. He desires for us to be that person because he wants us to show gentleness, patience, accepting one another, and forgiving one another. I know from my own life that people can be difficult. Sometimes people can be almost impossible. And relationships can be difficult. And sometimes seems like they're not reconcilable. But the Lord calls us to forgive each other, accepting one another and forgiving one another. I can't accept you because, well, you're not like me. Fortunately, you're not like me. But in interpersonal relationships, we run into situations where we find ourselves in conflict with someone just because we don't agree on a point that isn't actually that important. He calls on us to accept one another. That means we need to accept them in Christ. We need to accept them in as a member of the body of Christ. Remember what he said in the last of our last message. There is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. There are Christians in the world that are completely different than we are, but they know Christ. There are people in the world that are completely different than we are, but they know Christ. Accepting one another, forgiving one another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, also, you must also forgive. That's not a, if you want to forgive, it's okay if you forgive, if you desire to forgive. It's really something you should do, maybe. No, that's not what he's saying at all. He's saying that you must forgive. You must also forgive, just as the Lord has forgiven you, just as Jesus forgave us. We must also forgive. We are supposed to forgive. And when you forgive someone, and I know we all have burdens on our hearts, when you forgive someone and the weight that you felt in your life, when we give it to God, it lifts off of our shoulders. It lifts away from us. God takes that weight away and gives us joy in place of it, gives us peace in place of it, gives us the opportunity to recognize just exactly how wrong we were and how freely we've been forgiven and how much we can have as peace. Right after he says forgive, above all, put on love, the perfect bond of unity. The perfect bond of unity.
What
the commentator said concerning this was, when you're putting on the garment of the new self, it's the perfect new article of clothing for God's people. Put on love. Love people. Love them because they're in Christ. Love them because they need Christ. Love them because you want them to experience the peace of Christ. And let the peace of the Messiah, to which you were also called in one body, control your hearts. Let the peace of Christ control your hearts. Jesus told us in John chapter 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Your heart must not be troubled or be fearful. The peace brought about by Christ should control your heart. Peace. I know that sometimes it seems like peace is so far away. It's almost impossible to find peace, be at peace. It's almost impossible to come to a place where we can actually just put our head down on the pillow and fall asleep in total rest, because we're at peace with the world. We're at peace with our life. We're at peace with our spouse. We're at peace with people around us. We're at peace with people at work. We're at peace with people that we encounter. Peace is something that seems so intangible, and yet Jesus gives us peace. He prepares us to accept peace, and he gives us peace not as the world gives, do I give to you, but peace that only he can give, peace that only he can provide for us. And he wants our life to reflect peace. Reflect the peace of God. Reflect the peace that we have in a relationship with him. Reflect the peace that you know that you have in Christ, because you have a future and a hope. And that future and hope in Christ gives us peace in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of difficulty. Don't spend too much time watching the news. It'll rob you of your peace. If you look at what's going on in the world today, we would have every reason to be concerned about what's going on. When's the end coming? Who's going to push the button? Who's going to send the first nuke? What's going to happen? All of those questions we have no answers to. And one of the things that is the craziest things is, all of those questions, not only don't we have an answer to, there's not one single thing we can do to prevent that from happening, except to pray. And in prayer, we can have peace. Recognize that our life is really in Christ, that our life is really a ministry opportunity to demonstrate the peace of God in the midst of turmoil, the peace of God in the midst of family situations, and peace of God in the midst of difficulty at work, difficulty in every area of your life. But you can have peace. Peace because God has given us peace. He has made it possible for us to have peace. And Paul tells us here, and let the peace of the Messiah, to which you were also called in one body, control your heart. Well, we all know what the heart is. Scriptural heart is not that muscle in your chest that pumps blood through your body. It's the center of your emotions. It's the center of who you are as a person. It is your relationship to everything that goes on. We call it the heart because, and we put our hand over our chest, but it's actually in our mind. And what we allow our mind to dwell upon, what we allow our mind to think about, and what we allow our mind to do in relationship to what God tells us in his word, and on all of our other relationships in the world. Our heart is the center of our emotions. Let peace control your heart. Be thankful. We have a million things to be thankful for. We have an eternity ahead of us to be thankful for. We have a promise from the Lord, and the book of Ephesians is an incredible book about all the spiritual blessings that he has provided for us in Christ. And because we have a future and a hope, because we have the reality of what is hoped for in Christ, And we can experience the evidence of what is hoped for in Christ according to the book of Hebrews. We have every reason to be thankful. We don't know exactly where we're going from here. We know what our next step is. That's all we know. But we can be thankful because we know that we can trust Him. We know that we can believe Him. We know we have every reason to trust Him. He has proven Himself to us time and time and time again. And He promises us through His Word that He is always faithful. So we don't have to worry. We don't have to be concerned about what we don't understand. And He goes on and He tells us in verse 16, "But the message about the Messiah dwell richly among you." How can the message of Christ dwell in us richly if we are in conflict with other people, if we are self-conflicted because of our faith, if we are self-conflicted because we don't know what we're doing next, if we are concerned about everything that's going on around us, if we allow the world situations that are around us to control our thinking, then what happens is we lose focus. Let the message of the Messiah dwell richly among you. Now, he's talking about the body of Christ, but he's telling us also in this passage, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So inside the body of Christ, we are to dwell together and we are to enjoy the teaching, the correction, the admonishing, and we are to be thankful because we have one another. And in that fellowship that we share together, we teach each other and we encourage each other in all wisdom with singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, with gratitude in our hearts to God. We come together as a body of believers because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's no other reason why this group of people in this church would be together other than the fact that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we are bound together in unity because of that relationship that we share with Christ. And in that relationship we share with Christ, we are supposed to be those who encourage, strengthen, and help each other. We're supposed to be those who lift each other up, who pray for each other, who support one another, like our brother that's going to go to see his family. We are constantly called to be an encouragement. Probably one of the greatest things that we can do when we meet other people for a cup of coffee or over a meal is to be an encourager, to be someone who lifts them up, encourages them, and when they leave our presence, they are blessed because we share with them the unity of our faith, but we share also with them the joy that the Lord gives us through His Word, teaching and admonishing one another, hope, helping each other. What did God do in your life today? Oh, you know, I just read this verse, and I read this verse, and I share this verse. It's important to recognize that we are supposed to encourage and strengthen each other. We are supposed to lift each other up. We are supposed to help people. And we're supposed to be humble and glorifying God in the process. It's not about me. It's not about me. And we ought to have that mindset. It's not about me. It's about fellowship. It's about encouragement. It's about strengthening each other. It's about helping each other. And when someone has an issue in their life and they want to meet with you, make sure that when that conversation is over and they're going their way and you're going your way, that what happened in that conversation was that you encouraged them and you built them up and prayed with them and helped them see that there is a future. And there is a hope, because we are blind many times. Something happens in the morning and it ruins your whole day. And I say that seriously. Something happens in the morning and it ruins your whole day. And that That is not how it's supposed to be. Something happens in the morning and you forgive it and you forget it and move on. Because we're called to that. We're called to that because we need to be encouraging. And Paul puts in here singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Well, unfortunately, I don't have much of a voice for singing, but I do enjoy hearing God's word sang. And it's an encouraging thing. It's an encouraging gathering that we have, like the worship team tonight was a blessing. Thank you, guys. Singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. The last verse. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, when you read that verse, don't read it and just walk away from it. Because Paul says, whatever you do, it makes no difference if you're a plumber, a contractor, a machine operator, or a driver, or whatever circumstance in which you find yourself, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. I know that it's hard sometimes. I understand how difficult it can be. I've hit myself in the hand and the finger with my hammer before. I understand. But whatever you do in word or deed, if we focus our life, as Paul tells us here in this passage of Scripture, put on Christ. Put on Christ. He tells us in verse 12, put on Christ, and everything in your life can be done by Christ in your life. Follow that? Put on Christ, put on that new garment of a relationship with him, and everything that you do and say can be done by Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not just, oh yeah, I believe that. No, but I believe it to the point that I live it. I want my life to reflect what I believe. And that's what Paul is telling us in the end of this book. He's telling us, again, let the message about the Messiah richly dwell among you. And that doesn't mean just with other believers. It means with people in general, people you work with, people you encounter, people that may be just a casual meeting. But the evidence is of what Christ has done in your life is real enough so people can see the difference. And then don't be afraid to say the truth. What makes you so different? I can tell you why. Be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks for the reason, for the hope that is in you. If we don't live our life for Christ, then maybe we should keep our mouth shut. But if we live our life for Jesus Christ, we have every reason to share that hope with people in a world that is hopeless, in a world that is lost, in a world that does not have a future and a hope without Jesus Christ. I had an opportunity, actually, Kelly was with me, and the waitress in the restaurant said, I love you guys so much. Now that is a different response that you get from someone that you don't really know, but the evidence of Christ is there. And it opened a door for conversation. If we put on a grumpy attitude and we look like the world just caved in around us, then we have no business trying to share Christ with someone that we can't demonstrate the truth of the relationship we have. And everything you do, and then do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Our life should be a life of joy, a life of peace, a life of thanksgiving, a life of gratitude to God for what he has given us when none of us absolutely deserved anything from him. And he gave it to us freely. And he gave it to us simply because he loved us and wanted us to experience a relationship with him that will go on for eternity. We have that promise. We have that relationship. And we have every reason to be thankful, giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ, through him, the one who paid the penalty for our sin, who hung on that cross, and on whose cross our sins are nailed to for eternity, paid in full. Nailed to that cross, paid in full. We have every reason to be thankful. We have every reason to demonstrate Christ. We have every reason to put off the old man and put on the new, and demonstrate to the world around us that there is hope, there is a future, and that future is in Jesus Christ.
As we move forward, let's hold on to who we are in Christ. We are chosen by God, made holy, and deeply loved. So let's put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Let love bind everything together in perfect unity, and let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. May his word live richly within us, shaping our thoughts, words, and actions. And in everything we do, whether in quiet service or bold witness, let it all be in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. Let's live clothed in Christ. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio, and Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ, for there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations to ensure more have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection.